This is one of the benefits of when the students pay attention and correct this here. Now I said three types of sabr, of patience. Sabrun ala ta'a, patience upon obedience. So they need sabr akhi. To wake up from Fajr and come to the masjid, this means very sabr. Sabrun ala al-ma'siyah, patience on holding yourself from committing the sins. Look at it, how much sabr you need in this land. How much sabr you need in this land. Sabr ala aqdar Allah al-mu'lima, and patience with the destiny, the painful destiny of Allah. Toothache, headache, stomachache, car. You go out and find car guy, and bunch. You don't know who. You be patient. Your son dies. You be patient. You lost your business. You be patient. All this painful decree, you need to be patient. You need to be patient. And ask Allah Ta'ala to make it easier.
I'm going to have a sister. Can a ministering woman into the masjid touch or hit the ground?
This is a matter of difference of opinions among the scholars. The one I take is yes. She is allowed to enter the mosque, especially when she is in need to learn Quran. And even touching Quran, because the impurity is not in her hand. The Prophet ﷺ one day told Aisha to pass him over the masjid. He asked her to pass him, to give him the praying rug. She said, I'm in menstruation. He said, your menstruation is not in your hand. Your menstruation is not in your hand. He said, so I tell him, your ministration is not in, on your hand. So it means your hand is not impure. And that's why he used to eat with her when she has in the masjid. Now, and she might bite of the meat, and he asked the woman, show me, and he bites in the same place. And she might drink from the cup, and he asked, show me from where you drank, so he drinks from the same place. Likewise. Now, the argument of opinions. The opinion I take is that it is permissible. Allah. Now. No, that was before Islam. That was during the lifetime of Musa. That the brother is asking about the woman who fit the tikkat, and the other who fit the dog. And Allah Ta'ala forgave them, let them in the Jannah. This was during the lifetime of both Musa, or and before him, both Isa was sent while. So it is before Islam. No. Hello, this is not. Huh? Then this is a good question. And they said this, what Rasulullah said, was about people of the scripture who before us during their time of the validity of their religion. But after Rasulullah was sent, all the religions before him were abrogated. As he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ لَا يَسْمَعُ بِي أَحَدٌ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ يَهُودِيًّا كَانَ أَوْ نَصْرَانِيًّا ثُمَّ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِي إِلَّا أَدْخَلَهُ اللَّهُ فِي النَّارِ. By the one whom my soul is in his hand, there will be no one from amongst this Ummah, a Jew or Christian, hears of me and he disbelieves in me, except that Allah Ta'ala will put him in the fire. Whether he's doing good or bad. If he's doing good, the world is only here in this world. Allah.
So you scholars are becoming one unknown. What advice can we give to a new practicing Muslim? And who to take knowledge from? And who has the power to influence this?
As the new student of knowledge, due to the knowledge, my advice to you is stick to seek knowledge. Do not get involved in this. You keep yourself away, you are not yet qualified for this level. So just leave it. And don't hustle about it. From whom you seek knowledge? You seek knowledge from the ones who teach knowledge. Who teach knowledge properly. Based on قال الله قال الرسول, and the only they are the best, as the Prophet said, كبر كبر, it's in the order to the order. So to seek knowledge, seek it from the eldest and one who teaches you knowledge, not from lectures. Lectures only, I always say, the classes is the main meal, and lectures is the salads and soft drinks. Right? Understand it, Akhun? You are invited to a meal. Huh? Rice and meat and or barbecue, mashallah. And they serve you salad and Pepsi. Are you going to just eat salad and drink Pepsi? Huh? No. You're going, first of all, you're going to eat the barbecue and meat and rice. Right? So that's the thing. Classes, attend classes, studying books, and based on a proper curriculum. Don't jump. Like here in the West, I see some things, really, people just want books which is either rarely taught or very advanced. If you ask them what are the principles of fiqh, they don't know. What are the principles of aqidah, they don't know. What are the principles of Arabic language, they don't know. So why a scholar from the best world of his time was sitting teaching his students, when a man, a stranger man came in, he wanted to sit. He said, stand up. Have you studied Quran? Way of recitation, memorizing, interpretation? He said, no. He said, go out. Don't attend for me. Go out. Go home. Study Quran first. How long do you think it will take? Months. He came back. He went and said, study Quran first. Then he studied Arabic language, grammar, and this. It was Arab. He said, no, he said, go back, study, and then come back. See one who teaches you this. And they come to my circle. He went a couple of months and came back. then he accepted him. Because without this you cannot have the proper understanding. You may have some understanding, but out of the whole talk you may have 0.0001%. What's the benefit there? What's the benefit there? I told my brother, Akim, when we were coming to the masjid from Croydon, I know Muslim students in Medina who come there to work or something, carry the book of Sahih Bukhari and come to the circle of Sheikh Abbas. They don't even speak Arabic. What are you wasting your time, Akhi? What are you doing here? Advanced class, very high class. People who are on masters and PhD sitting there. And he just comes only to be seen. That's not correct, Akhi. They are going to have knowledge. Maybe. And the whole week you get only one word understood. That's not correct, Akhi. Go find someone teach you Arabic, teach you Surah, teach you Quran, and then come back. So when you come and sit to the Sheikh, you know, you understand what he's saying. But not the Sheikh speaking like it is, he's using different language than yours. You know? Hold on. Any question? No.
You did mention that Allah gives permission to intercessors before, give permission to ulama to intercede before matters because of these 31,000 the scholars that the matters came for. So,
who are Allah? I just gave example. I gave example. It's still the martyr and the field of battle. Make him one, kafir. Make him two, make him three, and then become correct. Right? And the soldiers fight and go fight, kill one cover, two covers, three covers, four covers, and we kill. Now, what the alim can do is much greater without even having a drop of blood. Why? Because he go and give call to the kuffar with the proofs and evidences in a proper way, and then the kuffar sits and come. Now that one killed kuffar, this one gave life to kuffar, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it? The kuffar, while they are kuffar, they are considered to be dead. They are not life. The kuffar state is a dead state, not life. Life is Islam, Iman. So when the alim go and bring these people from death to life, as better than that one who kill. And when I say kill, by the meaning that you kill their hopes, especially those who hate Islam, the priests. Don't want the Christians and the Jews to come to Islam. But when the alim come and give a talk and some people who Allah Ta'ala, who Allah Ta'ala willed them to come to Islam, they listen to this talk of the alim, Muslim alim, and they accept Islam. Now, who did better? Who caused more pain to the kuffar? Who caused men more pain to the kuffar? The one who killed the kuffar, I mean, who made it more pain to the alive kuffar? The one who killed the relatives of this alive kuffar, or the one who changed the children of this alive kuffar to be Muslims? Which one who made who pay to them? The one who gave da'wah to the children of kuffar, so children of kuffar became Muslims. So these fathers and mothers who are staying in kufr don't like of their son to be kafir, to be Muslim. Right? You understand it? What I mean is the effect of the alim is much greater than the effect of the mujahid in regard of spreading Islam. In regard of spreading Islam. As regards to Muslim universities, we don't advise, we don't recommend. It's a disobedience. And we all know that. A lot of evil came out of that. And the fathers who enforce their children to go do not know, because they are over age of fitna. But these youngsters, no one knows where that it is place of fitna. They cannot resist. He's young. She is young. They cannot resist the fitna they see in the university when a young man next to a young woman. That's a big fitna. So, and this we say it is, first of all, as with the rule of Islam, it is haram. That is why, for the bay'ah, is someone in bay'ah. Okay, for the pledge, Rasulullah sallam, and he, Rasulullah, never accepted to touch the hand of women or to, yani, have mixing. For the pledge on Islam, because it is dangerous. Even him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What about these youth who their knowledge to Islam is very limited, who their amount of iman in their heart is very, very, very poor? What can stop them from committing this crime? So this is for everything. And in regards to the other question, seeking knowledge in Islamic university, going to Islamic university, meaning traveling to abroad to Muslim countries to join a Muslim university. We say knowledge of Islam is of two types, obligatory and optional. The obligatory is what you can worship the Lord with. Tawheed, how to pray, how to fast, how like this. Yeah, listen. If you don't have even this, yes, you have to travel even without mahram to protect this. So you to worship Allah out of the light. But if you already have this, or this can be given to you in the local masjid, why then you travel? No, you don't travel without the mahram. But if there is a mahram, then no problem. Even if the mahram just can take you to that land and come back and leave you there. But leave you there in safety. Leave you there in a safe place, environment, like that. So, and he makes sure that you are okay in that place and care is given to you, then no problem. But just to go for increasing your knowledge, is obedience. Obedience cannot be implemented along with disobedience. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ forbid a woman to travel without a mahram. And when the man came to join the jihad, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I came to join the jihad, but my wife went for Hajj. He said, then don't join the jihad. Go catch your wife and so that's the answer of Allah. Ibrahim?
Ibrahim?
As-salamu
alaykum. No, I'm one because I have problems. Select which one you want to know. Select which one you want to know because I have problems. I have all the questions. Yes.
During the lifetime of the Sahaba, which had more priority?
Is to teach or to build the Muslim?
I don't know why there is any contradiction between what's the
majority for either teaching or children or.
Now let me tell you something. Now, but I know, but what I want to understand is where is now the contradiction between teaching the children and bringing us? I don't understand it really.
Teaching the children.
I understood the question, but I say, where is the contradiction here? Now, okay, excuse me. Building the masjid, do you mean by participating physically by breaking, cutting the bricks and building the walls, or by donating money, you mean? Okay, so you are saying participating in it physically, spending time in it. Okay, Sheikh Abdul Razak will summarize it. Belongs to Allah. Wherever you are, you can worship Allah. Allah is not exposed in one land and hidden in another. You can worship Allah wherever you are. And the way to worship Allah is the same. By the Kaaba and in London. The same way. Prayers, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, the Adhkar, by seeking knowledge. That's the way which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left us upon. We don't need to invent now a new way because we are in a certain state or in a certain land. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not leave this world until he completed the whole message of Allah. Which, if people just grasp on it, they will need not any more teachings or any more guidance. This type of gathering which you say, gathering and the purpose of praising Allah or remembrance Allah was found during the lifetime of the Sahaba after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as in the hadith Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu passed by the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day, and then he came to the house of Abdullah bin Mas'ud. And when Abdullah bin Mas'ud came out, he said, I saw in the masjid something strange. He said, what did you see? He said, I said people sitting in circles, and each circle has a head of them, and he said, then say subhanAllah 100 times, like that. He said, okay, what did you say to them? He said, well, I didn't say to them nothing. I didn't say nothing to them, waiting for you just to tell me what it is. He said, okay, let us go there. So they both went, and they came to one of these circles. Ibn Mas'ud said to them, what are you doing, people? He said, Alhamdulillah, Ibn Mas'ud, we are just doing dhikr. Allah mentioned dhikr, Rasulullah mentioned dhikr. He said, well, people, you are either up on a way which is better than the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can anybody be on a way better than Muhammad? Or you are opening a gate of misguidance to the Ummah. They said, but we only doing this. He said, Rasulullah just passed away. His clothes have not worn yet. His boots have not broken yet. He recently died. And you start to tell this. The narrator of the hadith said that when Ali radiallahu anhu fought against the Khawarij in Iraq, they saw most of these people who were in the Masjid al-Nabawi doing this. When the Khawarij against Ali, was that the guidance or misguidance? Thousands are involved in that. Carpa? There is no obedience in the obedience on the creation. There is no obedience of creation and the obedience of the creation. If the father or the mother commands the daughter not to wear the proper coverage, the hijab and the niqab, then she must not obey it. He must not obey them. Obedience, yani the father, and these parents must know, ikhwan, that they are not owners of their children. They are not owners. It is wrong for the father or mother to understand that he is owner of this being. an independent human being. You are not the owner. You have honor, but not owner. You have honor, but not owner. So don't try to treat her as a slave. You just do what I say. No, that's wrong. And especially when she is trying to be upon the way that Allah created you and her, wants her to be. Yes, you can sit and discuss. No problem. I don't agree on hijab. Bring me your evidences and proofs. She brings you evidences and proofs. You don't say, even though, you said, no, that's not correct. Then your right as a father, as a mother, is dropped. You have no right there. You have to be a good father, or you have no right. You have to be a good mother, or no right. It's not correct to command your daughter to disobey her vows. He is the owner of you and her. The creator of you and her. So this daughter, or this son, or whoever, was commanded to disobey Allah, must not disobey Allah. And both of us were saying, you have to realize that obeying your parents on the womb may provide you a pleasure for just a short while, but will bring you the massive torment of Allah, severe torment. Why? Disobeying your parents by obeying Allah will make them maybe for a short while and please with you. But Allah, the hearts, ikhwan, the hearts of the slaves are in between the two fingers of Allah. He is the one who turns the hearts the way he likes. So if you ask Allah Ta'ala, you ask Allah Ta'ala to turn the hearts of your mother to love hijab, Allah will accept you. نعم الله
عز
I did not say Sahaba, I said the scholars. Those days, these days, the coming days, scholars who are upon the way of Rasulullah. There are two types of scholars. Scholars of guidance and scholars of misguidance. Only who are going to intercede are only those who are following the way of Rasulullah. No. Allah.
What advice would you give to Muslim parents who are not the scholars?
The advice to these brothers is to fear Allah Ta'ala and know, as Yani just said, that the flesh of the scholars is poisoned. The honor of the scholars is poisoned. So fear Allah and hold on your tongue. And you are told not to speak about other Muslims by backbiting, surrendering, or whatsoever bad speech that caused them sadness. That's literal truth. What about the scholars? Fear Allah and keep yourself away from that. جزاك الله خير. احسنت. I did not say جزء او مدير, I said انت مسلم الان, مسلم الان يعني wherever Muslims, wherever it is the land of Muslims. And that's why I told you that يجن, why you don't see علماء as علماء here, not only from Saudi, from Libya, from Nigeria, from Nigeria, they are all علماء. India there are علماء, Pakistan there are علماء. Why you don't see them here? Because none of them except to be in this land, just for a few Muslims here, these Muslims can come, or at least some Tani Tullab al-Ilm from whom يعني, their circumstances made them to be here, like now Sheikh Abdul Razzaq, or يعني, the people who graduated from colleges. So this, okay, what I say now, the علماء come, visit, give that one go. Recently they were in Birmingham, in Green Bay. Wallahi, listen, let me tell you something. I was invited to come and stay here 3 months ago. First, I can't stay with our family, and I would never ever sacrifice my family for you all. I would never ever. No. If it is either one to go to the hellfire of my family or you, I don't care about you. My family is my aliko. No, isn't it that one? Should I protect my family first or you? So how I bring my family here? You
first? If you ask me a question, sir, you don't have time for either of you. That is the time for us. And there is another question, sir, and the most important one. I'm combining two questions on the question. First question was, I'm providing the knowledge of the Catholic and Mormon. So, what's the difference why the Mormon is not speaking?
And regard to the first section, first of all, I said obligatory and optional, not normal, optional. What is more than the obligatory, yani like ibadah, salah you have obligatory and option. The 5 times prayer is obligatory. You have no choice to do them or not to do them. But more than the 5 times prayers, also you do them, no reward, you don't do them, no sin on you. Same thing, there is obligatory knowledge, which is to know about your Lord, who you worship. Second, the way of worship, how, which is the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And you got these two things, enough. If you want to have more knowledge, good, but it is not obligatory. They call it in Islam fard kifaya. If number of Muslims done it, then no sin upon the rest of the ummah. But when the whole ummah just ignores, all of them are going to be in sin. That's the first. The second, in regards to khushu', ya akhwan, khushu' comes from iman. Khushu' comes from iman. And iman has different ways to build it up. You have to build it. You have to build your iman. And iman also has consumers that reduce it. As the ulama say, iman increases by obedience and decreases by sins. Now, are you in the land of obedience or land of sin? Then you have to work harder and harder and harder to keep your iman. As I said in a talk in Croydon, I said, ya ikhwan, you here have to be careful. You have, yani if it is optional for people and Muslim people in Mecca next to the Kaaba, if it is optional, to pray nice prayers. I don't want to take a ruling and say it's obligatory, but I say it is almost obligatory for you to maintain your iman. See how much sin around you that consume your iman. So how to rebuild it, how to clean it all? Pray nice prayers, pray duha, pray in the masjid, fast, optional fasting, give sadaqah, donate to the masjid. You have no fuqara here. Okay, donate to the masjid. The masjid are real places who are in need for donating. Donate to the masjid. And also do a lot of dhikr, ikhwan. Dhikr. Dhikr is nothing like, ikhwan. Adhkar of morning, adhkar of evening. When I ask many brothers and sisters who live in the West, tell us something, even the practices. How often you do that adhkar? Oh yeah, I did it last week. What do you mean last week, akhi? What do you mean last week? You're talking about your protection. And you say last week, you have to increase your iman so the khushu' comes. Allah.
Okay. We stop two questions. Only two questions, and then we stop very short ones to cut us for the speaking in now in 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Oh, my respect is okay.
And then after 8 hours of the last night, another interview. So we shall avoid two questions and then we stop the channel for a short and a secret question.
I don't know if you can touch, but any country that has to do where you have to apply it.
But some people take this loan, but the loan has to pay back when you get a job with interest, inflation at that time. Because you need to be in your time. Because someone is going to study, what is the worst scenario we can expect if you don't study? If you don't post it, you can't still work? You can't still work?
Right.
You can even get a job. You will never be found hungry. Right? For so long, I'm not hungry. If you think you are better than him, it's a different case. Rasulullah was found hungry. He found hungry to the point that he put a stone on his stomach and tied a cloth on it to squeeze his stomach to reduce the feeling of hunger. And he one day could even not resist. He came out after Dhuhr, in the time that he usually has dinar, which is called Qaylula, to get some powerful nightmares. But he was found out, he found Umar and Bakr. He asked them, what makes you to come out at this time? They said, Ya Rasulullah, wallahi, only hunger. He said, by Allah, nothing made me to come out except what you, what made you. Now, Rasulullah, Abu Bakr and Umar, the best of mankind. Yani, Rasulullah, the best of mankind in general, Abu Bakr and Umar, the best of mankind after the Prophet. And they are found hungry. Abu Bakr Siddiq, one day, his slave gave him some food. He ate. Then his slave told him, Abu Bakr, you didn't ask me where I get this money from. He said, well, where got it from? He said, I got it from a fortune teller business I used to do before Islam. Before Islam. And he's now Muslim. Abu Bakr immediately put his finger into his throat and vomited all the food out. Why he doesn't want nothing to come into his body and that is halal. Because he knew the verse of Allah said, anybody grown up on haram, then only the fire deserves it. So akhi, don't let the shaitan drag you to this. Don't take any loan of riba whatsoever. Oh, but I need a better job. Akhi, with a better job, you don't go to Jannah. With lower jobs, you're not going to die. You're still going to survive.
Take the money
Last question, inshallah.
No, we'll have the second session, inshallah.
Well,
let me just correct something here.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum is to be said when you enter, not when you are sitting with us.
Okay, good.
Because we know that you are familiar now.
Yes.
And every time when to speak to each other, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. There's not this one. The Prophet said, if one of you enters to a sitting, then he should say assalamu alaikum. When he wants to leave, then he should also say assalamu alaikum. But not during it. For the
He just mentioned earlier about different questions, but as you said earlier about mentioning about the ulama who is they know Allah to come there, so they know Allah. As you said, even about your family. What about us? What the.
You want to change the truth? You don't get angry?
That's what I want.
You don't get angry?
No.
You know Hitler?
I'm serious.
You know Hitler? You all know Hitler?
Yes.
That's it?
Yes.
There.
There.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to
just there. Allah.